Verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, for you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we open your word, and we ask that you would open our hearts, that you would open up the mind of our understanding. Lord, that you would open up our ears that we may hear, open up our eyes that we may see Christ. And Lord, help us this day. We long to hear from you. We do not need to hear what man has to say, but we need to hear your voice and your voice only. And may it be so in this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Charles Spurgeon told a story about two men in London who were walking down the main street, and they cut through this little alley to avoid going all the way around the block. And it's a very small, narrow little alley, and it has an archway above it. And the archway says, "No burdens pass through." Now, what that means is it's too narrow for carts and wagons or animals, or even people carrying burdens on their back to cut through that little alley. But Spurgeon said that they were passing that way as they did most days, and one of the men turned to the other and he said, "You know, we constantly pass this way with our burdens. There was no visible pack on their back, but they carried the burdens and the pressures in their heart." You see, this is where we all are. We carry these burdens, and this is a result of sin. Now, last week, we looked, and Paul told us to crucify the sinful nature with its lust, its desires. But he talks about something different today. He says, if anyone is caught in a sin, now, he does not mean caught in the act. That word there in the Greek means surprised, caught unawares. Perhaps you have crucified the sinful nature. Perhaps you're working on that and you're walking in step with the Spirit. This word implies that sin is there waiting and jumps out and grabs you and throws you down before you even know what happened. It's kind of like walking on ice. You know there's ice on the sidewalk. You're going very carefully and slowly. And the next thing you know, you're on the ground. You don't even know how it happened. That's the sense of the word that Paul uses here. Now, let's be clear about one thing right up front. Paul is not talking here about doctrinal error. He's talking about lesser faults that grab us all because of our human weaknesses. He is talking about things that afflict us because we are human. What is more natural than for a human being to be deceived or to make mistakes or to err? These are the kind of things that Paul is speaking of here. But Paul also recommends a parental kind of correction, a gentle kind of correction for people who are caught thusly. And the model that we have for this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ was unyielding. He was even hostile. and condemnatory of those who taught doctrinal error, of those who led people astray. But to the repentant sinner, he was mild and merciful. Like the woman that came to Simon the Pharisee's house and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Or like the thief on the cross. Jesus didn't say to him, "You've wasted your whole life in sin. What are you doing at this last minute?" He didn't say any of that. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Or the Samaritan woman at the well, or the woman taken in adultery in John 8. This is the model that Jesus has. Those who come, even though they may be caught in a sin, they're to be restored gently. And that word restore there, interestingly, is the same exact word in Matthew 4:21, where it says James and John were mending their nets. They were restoring their nets. A fish net with a hole in it is of not very much use. The fish will swim away through the hole. So they were restoring the nets for their proper use. Churches are full of people with holes in them who need to be restored gently so they can be used for that for which God called them. There are people who are on the ground who need a hand up, who've slipped and fallen. And they need a hand. That's what Paul's talking about here. Now, in many churches, in much of what passes for Christian fellowship, in much of what is called Christian brotherhood, in much of what is called Christian help, there's very little restoration. Most folk don't get this. At best, they forgive and forget, if they even do that. But there's no emphasis on restoration. There's no emphasis on mending this one and restoring them so they can be useful. Focus on scrutiny. Many of the leaders, many of the clerics focus on scrutinizing what people do, condemning what people do, analyzing what people do, while they themselves teach false doctrine, teach things that are incorrect. As Jesus said about the Pharisees, they take and tie heavy loads up and place them on the backs of people, and yet they won't lift a finger to help them. That's not restoration. But Paul says when we do lift a finger, we need to be careful. We can fall also. If you're trying to help someone up that's fallen on the ice, there's nothing more common than for two people to be on the ice instead of one. He says there that we are to be careful when we do this. Augustine said, "There is no sin committed by one person which cannot also be committed by another. If you stand in slippery places, you will fall." When I was a kid, we spent a lot of time in the mountains, our family. And this meant in the summertime that we spent a lot of time in the creeks or the little rivers, wading and playing in the creeks. And those nice, round, smooth river rocks with that water rushing over them are slick. And it happened all the time. One of our parents would say, "Be careful, you're going to slip on those rocks." And, you know, quite often, shortly after that, there'd be a loud splash as one of the parents stepped on the rock and went into the creek. So it's the same way with sin. You have to be careful, or you can easily fall into sin yourself. when you are helping others, you need to be careful. One of the things we have a problem with is admitting and recognizing our own weaknesses. We think that this will never happen to us. We also have sort of an attitude against the one to which it has happened. But John Newton said, we have a tendency to think we are morally superior when we help one who has been caught in a sin. He said, this is when we need the gospel to remind us of what we were. You know, this restoration is not just a thing of giving advice. Paul makes that clear here. Paul says we've got to get down under the load with them. Now, the ones who think they're morally superior are good at giving advice. Sometimes they're not so good about getting under the load. But Paul says you've got to get down under the load with them and help them pick up this load and carry it. This is difficult for some people to do. You know, Christians have to have strong shoulders to carry the load of their brothers and sisters in Christ who have been caught in a sin. It is not an easy thing to do, to bear someone else's troubles, to bear with someone else when they've fallen. You know, and there are many, many ways this happens. What are some of the ways in which people fall? What are some of the ways that sin jumps up and grabs people unawares sometimes? Well, there's all kind of ways. Sickness. There's loneliness. There's divorce. There's death. Sorrow. Poverty. And on and on and on and on. And, you know, sometimes what's needed is just to be there. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just need to be there with them. There are other times when you need to pray with them, weep with them, sometimes even share what you have with them. This is the body of Christ. We are one. If my back hurts because I picked up a burden that was a little too heavy, or if I slipped and fell and twisted it in some kind of weird way, and my back hurts, the rest of my body has to pitch in. You have had back trouble, all of you, at one point in time, probably. And you know what I mean. Your arms got to help out a little. Your legs got to carry a little more load. You can't sit or move or do like you. The whole body has to chip in and help. It's that way with the body of Christ. This is Christ's body, and we're all members of it. And if one member's hurting, the other member's got to help carry some of the load. Now, some folks think they're too good to help. Some folks think they're too good to stoop down and get under the load with somebody else. Some of them just think they're just too good, period. That'll never happen to me. This was exactly the problem with the Apostle Peter. Just hours before he denied Christ, you remember what he said? All these others may fall, not me. You know, almost the same words. They may slip and fall, Lord, but not me. It's that kind of overconfidence that Paul warns us about here. We need to watch ourselves, but we need to help others. We need to get down under that load and pick it up and help them carry it. You know, this is, it's difficult. People won't share with you what the load is. People won't even tell you they're carrying a load. But if you could see into their hearts, if you could see what they have on their back spiritually, you could tell they need help. But we were a little too proud to share that with others. And then sometimes when we do know, we're a little too reticent to jump in there and help. So Paul tells us here that we're to carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This is not Paul's idea. This is Jesus' idea. And, the ones who think they're morally superior just have trouble lowering themselves or coming to the aid of another. And that just shouldn't be in the body of Christ. There is this pride, I guess is the only word you can use for it, sort of like Peter had. It's very common in cults that you have a leader who is proud. Paul had to deal with that problem in Galatia. His opponents in Galatia, the Judaizers, you'll recall, they came from the head church down in Jerusalem. They were going to come up here to Galatia and set this Paul fellow straight. You know, Paul addressed that there. He said, if someone thinks they're something when they're nothing, what the Greek literally can be translated as, if somebody thinks he's a big number when he's nothing, he's really a zero. That's what the Greek says. Paul's calling his opponents zeros. They think they're something. They've come from the main office, so to speak, and they've come up here to straighten him out. He says they're zeros. You know, as I said, the cult leaders are great at this, but much of what I call the cult of personality, which some people call churches today, has been infected with this same kind of thing. The leader wants to be admired and adored. He wants to exalt himself. He gets mad, he gets upset, he flies off the handle if everything doesn't go just exactly the way he wants it to go. He wants to direct everyone else's actions. And he wants to be looked up to. Paul says those people are nothing. In fact, John Calvin said, since all men are nothing, the one who thinks himself to be something or the one who thinks himself to be somebody deceives himself. How do we avoid this? I mean, it's a human temptation. How do we avoid thinking we're something when we're nothing? Well, Paul says the way to do that is don't be comparing yourself to others, especially to those who have fallen. A short man is tall compared to somebody lying on the ground. Paul says don't be comparing yourself to others. What you need to compare yourself to, in fact, he says, you're to examine your works. You're to test them. You're to prove them by testing, the word means. We are not to compare ourselves to others. We're to compare our works to the law of God and to the example of Jesus Christ. That will keep you from thinking that you're something when you're nothing. You know, even a man with one eye thinks he has perfect vision when he's among blind people. But Paul says we're to avoid those kind of comparisons because, he says, everyone must bear his own load. Yes, we are told here to bear one another's loads. We're to help those who have fallen. And the one who has fallen should be rejoicing that a brother and sister in Christ is there to help him. But that does not do away with personal responsibility. Your responsibility cannot be transferred to another. Each one must bear his own load before God. Now, Paul has been very clear throughout this book that works do not gain salvation. Salvation is through faith and not by works. He's made that point over and over and over. But the rewards that will be measured out will be meted out in proportion to those things you have done. The load that you have carried and how you've carried that load. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, how someone else carried their load will not affect you positively or negatively. For each one must carry his own load. However, I would add, part of that load that God has prepared for you might be the carrying of part of that load for someone else. One final word I should add. In the context of what we're talking about here today, in our text, we're talking about Christians helping Christians. We're talking about the body of Christ. But when I hear Spurgeon talk about that little narrow way that says no burdens pass through, I can't help but think of Jesus' admonition in Matthew 7 that says we are to enter in through the narrow way. The way to heaven, he says, is narrow and constricted. And so many people think they're going to bring all their sin and all their baggage, and yeah, I'm going to bring a few good works along with me. And they think they're going to enter. But the way is too narrow. Jesus said we have a way for them. It's called the broad way for the oversized loads. And the way leads to hell. You see, the way to heaven is so narrow that you can't pass through there with anything. You can't pass through there with your sin even, the sin that's your burden that you're carrying in here that no one can see. That burden has to be carried by someone else. And the supreme example of bearing the burden of another was Jesus Christ, who took the burden of our sin and bore it up the way of suffering, the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. You know, there are many people, and there are many people sitting in churches all across this land today who think they're going to bring their sin, but they're going to bring an equal or greater number of good works, and they're going to bring this great big load, and that they're going to be all right in the judgment. But that's an oversized load. It's got those big yellow signs on the front that says oversized load and on the back. You see them driving down the highway. Usually as they crowd you out of your lane and into another one. They have to go the broad way. They can't pass through with that load. But to those whose load Jesus Christ has carried, those whose sin Christ has taken and borne the burden for, and those who have borne the burdens of their brothers and sisters in Christ, that archway that says no burdens pass through is a joy. It's grace. It's happiness. It's like that old bluegrass song said, "Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day when the clouds all pass away. When I see my Savior on His throne, my tears are wiped away. My tears are wiped away. My night is turned to day because no burdens are allowed to pass through." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. Indeed, the burden of sin has been lifted from us. That You have taken it upon Yourself, and that You've borne the wrath of God for our sin. Lord, help us to follow that pattern as we see our brothers and sisters in Christ weighed down with cares and sins and caught in sin. Lord, help us to be quick to take and shoulder that burden with them and help them. And Lord, if there are any here today who think they're going to be able to pass through with the wide load of sin and good works, Lord, we pray that you would make it clear to them that none pass through that way. Lord, help us, we pray. Lord, teach us your truth. Lord, may this truth resound in our hearts this day. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.